Collaborate with Robots, the podcast for news and views on robotics. Hi, I'm Sabine.
And I'm Adam. Welcome to the 33rd episode of Robots. Today, we will be looking at robots in the medical field, in particular, those used in teleoperated surgery. We first speak with Rainer Konietzke from the German Aerospace Center about the latest prototype of their MiroSurge surgical robot, the next step in robot-assisted endoscopic surgery.
Our second guest, Dr. Woong Yung Chung, is a surgeon at Yonsei University College of Medicine in Seoul, Korea. He just made the news this month for his work on treating thyroid cancer using robot-assisted surgery. He'll be giving us his hands-on view of the pros and cons of the technology and possible improvements for the future. Before we get started, though, let's hear the latest news in robotics from Christine.
Thanks, Sabine. Researchers at Ishikawa Komoro Labs have created a high-speed robot hand that can perform impressive acts of dexterity and skillful manipulation. Examples shown in a recently released video show the manipulator dribbling a ping-pong ball, spinning a pen, throwing a ball, tying knots, grasping a grain of rice with tweezers, and tossing a cell phone into the air and re-grasping it. The hand achieves these amazing feats by using photo detectors and tactile sensors with response times of less than 1 millisecond. Using high-speed actuators with harmonic drive gears, the hand can close in less than 1/10 of a second. Honda's humanoid robot Azimo has demonstrated the ability to navigate in a dynamically changing environment. In a demonstration, the robot walked towards its goal while avoiding to step on obstacles on the ground. Using online path planning algorithms developed in collaboration with researchers at Carnegie Mellon University, Azimo could even predict the future position of moving obstacles and time its footsteps to avoid them. Reliable, real-time navigation in dynamically changing environments is crucial for successful navigation in human environments, and especially important for humanoids, which may easily trip and fall. A European consortium has built 2 micro-robots to manipulate carbon nanotubes. Handling and characterization of nanotubes, which are thousands of times thinner than a human hair, is difficult, and a large range of potential applications have made it an important problem. The 2 robots, created as part of the NanoHand project, funded by the European Union, are about 2 centimeters in size and work inside the vacuum chamber of a scanning electron microscope. They are equipped with jaws that open to about 2 micrometers to pick up objects less than 100 nanometers in size. From the start, the project has been run with commercialization in mind, and the first product is already marketed with 2 industrial partners. As always, more information can be found in the Robots Forum, this week including videos of the high-speed robot hands, Azimo avoiding moving obstacles, and the 2 micro-robots. Visit our forum at www.robotspodcast.com/forum.
Thanks, Christine. Rainer Konietzke is part of the team at the German Aerospace Center working on the MiroSurge project, whose goal is to design a new generation of surgery robot for minimally invasive surgery. The MiroSurge can provide a surgeon with 6 degrees of freedom inside a patient, which is something that is not possible with current endoscopic surgery tools. He also speaks about soft actuators that allow surgeons to move the robot arms around manually with as much effort as moving a feather.
So, hi, Rainer. Welcome to the Robots Podcast.
Hi, Adam.
Can you introduce yourself to our listeners?
Okay, well, my name is Rainer Konietzke. I'm from the Institute of Robotics and Mechatronics, which is part of the German Aerospace Center. And I'm doing research at this institute, and I'm working in the field of surgical robotics.
Okay, tell us maybe a little bit more what kind of surgical robotic systems you guys use.
Okay, so our main project, it's called the MiroSurg robotic system. And this is a system for the minimally invasive surgery, where you use a robot to assist in this surgery.
What do you mean by minimally invasive?
Okay, so minimally invasive surgery, it's a special procedure where you use long, thin instruments which enter the patient body through small holes. And it's often used for heart surgery or also for general surgery procedures, for example, for the cholecystectomy. And, well, many operations are done this way, and a big drawback is that you have no actuation inside the patient, so you cannot angle the instruments, and you don't feel anything because you have the friction of the instruments that go through the patient body, so you don't feel the forces that you have on the organs with your instrument.
Okay, and you're hoping to use robots somehow to get over these setbacks.
Yeah, the idea is to have a robot that is holding these long, thin instruments, and then to teleoperate this robot. And these instruments, they should be then having additional degrees of freedom inside the patient, so you have the full dexterity that you need. And you also have force torque sensors in the tip, so you could measure the reaction forces inside the patient, and then use the force-reflecting joysticks that for the master console, so you can directly feedback these forces that you measured to the surgeon. And basically this is what we do in the MiroSurg project.
Okay, can you tell us maybe the state of the art? Because I know some of these systems are already out on the market. Where are we right now?
Okay, well, there's of course a lot of research projects going on right now. But basically there's only one really system in the market already that is also used in many hospitals and has already some commercial success as well. And, well, this system is just a teleoperation robot. So we just feed forward the positions that the surgeon is commanding with joysticks, and the robot is then moving accordingly. But we don't get any forces back, and this way, of course, we don't feel anything inside the patient. And this robot, it's basically used in urology. And there, especially in America, there are many, many systems right now.
So this is where what you're trying to solve with your MiroSurg project then, I guess, is to embed sensors and put some force feedback.
Well, this is one of the main advantages that we would like to bring into the system. On the other hand, we would also like to have a more lightweight and smaller robot. And we would also have like these soft robotics features that means that you can directly touch the robot and move it around, which perhaps looks like very normal. But of course, if you have a traditional industrial robot, you cannot move it around just by touching it because you have the motors and the gears. And this way, it's not back drivable. So even if it's back drivable a little bit, you have a lot of friction and it's not easy to move it. And in our system, we have also torque sensors in each joint. And this way, we can have special control algorithms that make it very easy to move the robot around. So you can basically, with your little finger, you can just push it and move it. And this way, also, the robot can react to forces that come from the environment, which makes it also a safe robot in the patient-surgeon operating room scenario.
That's really interesting, the soft robotics, but can you explain maybe why we would want to do this in the first place, actually? Why would we want to move the robot and not just teleoperate the end effectors?
Well, basically, one thing in the operating room is that you have many different devices there. And this you cannot really plan beforehand which device is having which position in the room. And then it's good to be flexible with the pose of the robot. So our robots, they have 7 degrees of freedom, which means that they are redundant kinematically. So basically you can push the elbow around, so you can just move the elbow away from some other things. And this way you have the space that you need in the operating room.
Okay.
Well, another advantage that we could also mention is that you can just do all the positioning inside the operating room very very easily just by pushing it and putting it in the right position where you want it. For example, if you enter the instruments into the patient, you can just do this by taking the robot and putting it into the patient.
Okay, so it makes it much more easier to use for the doctors then.
Right.
What is the precision of a robotic surgery system such as yours? And is it more precise than a surgeon's hand or less precise?
Well, the precision of a robot in general can be easily more precise than the one of a human being. So the human being's precision is usually said to be in the range of a tenth of a millimeter, and it's not too difficult to create robots that have this accuracy, and even a lot more. So, for example, our robot is a little bit better than the human accuracy. But, of course, if you look into industrial robotics, where you have very stiff, very heavy robots, they can be even much more accurate. So if you just think about the accuracy, the robots are better already. But I think this is only one part of the whole procedure. So the robot has to be accurate, but it has also to know exactly what is the right thing to do in a certain moment.
Your robots, they're teleoperated by doctors for the moment. Do you have any plans of making them a bit more autonomous or having them do some of the tasks for the doctor?
Yeah, this is a very interesting point. So in our opinion, it's very important to have the surgeon in the loop, because we don't think that we can replace this expert knowledge that the surgeon has by a robot. So this is not what we want to do. But of course, what we can introduce is a little autonomous functions that will assist the surgeon. For example, if you think about surgeries on the beating heart, you always have the motion of the heart. That maybe in future could be compensated by the same motion done by the robot. And then the surgeon could get like an image of the stabilized heart, and he could have the feeling that he was operating on the still-standing heart, while in reality it's still beating. So this would be some kind of autonomous function that the robot would add to the surgery. This would, again, help the surgeon to be more accurate and more flexible in the operation.
Well, that would be really interesting if you could really virtually stop the movement of the heart, I guess.
Yeah.
Do you have ways of moving around inside a cavity as well? You mentioned your robots have a bit more degrees of freedom. Does that also include the end effector that can be rotated or moved around inside?
Right. So the idea is that inside the patient, we have all 6 degrees of freedom of motion that we need. So we can do all translations and all rotations. And this is especially very important if you want to do, for example, a suture. Because then if you don't have the rotations, you cannot really do the suture.
You spoke before about automating certain parts of a surgery. What about putting in some safety measures? For example, if a surgeon is about to cut into an artery by accident, do you think there's a way of detecting this and maybe keeping the surgeon from doing this?
Well, this is a very interesting thing, and I think there are many different, little applications that would exactly do this. That you have a certain model of the environment of inside the patient, and then using this model, you can, for example, predict that in a certain area you should not move into. And then you could use your system to prevent the surgeon from going into this direction. So I think there are many different features that you could add into the operation that would actually make it safer, yeah. I'm convinced that this would be a good opportunity.
Okay. Maybe tell us a bit about the future of your system. I understand it's still a research project. Are you close to commercialization? Are you hoping to release it soon?
Oh, well, we as the Institute of Robotics and Mechatronics, of course, we are just a research institute. So we don't have the plan to commercialize it on our own. But of course, there are many different companies that are in close contact with us, and a lot of interest is coming from industry for commercialization. But it's very difficult to really say when there will be a robot like this in the operating room, because this depends very much on the commitment of the company.
What do you have left to do in your robot, maybe? What are your current kind of goals before you find that you have a system that works well?
Well, our goals in the moment are, on the one hand, to enhance the system, to make it better, because we had the first prototype last year for the Automatica fair in Munich. And, of course, this was a very, so especially for the software, we didn't have much more than just the night before the fair to put everything together. So since then, we are now making a better version, and we try to enhance the system in many ways. And so this is one thing that we're working on. And then the other one is that we want to have a very flexible system. So, for example, for the master console, we are exploring different ways of teleoperating the system. For example, one way would be to really have a force-reflecting joysticks. But on the other hand, we could also, for example, make gesture recognition of the surgeon. So the surgeon could just teleoperate the robot by moving the hands, and then get, for example, the force feedback, not in terms of haptics, but, for example, like optically augmented in the screen. So this would be like a low-cost version of the master console that then you could also use very well for training. And I think it's very important for us that we have many different ways of presenting our system, because our surgeons are also very, very different in their opinions. And we want to be open to all the input that we get all the time from the surgeons, and then have an evaluation and see what is the best alternative of the different components of the system. So we try to be very open and to have open interfaces also for research.
Okay, that's actually really quite interesting. Maybe as a kind of a last question, can you give us a more of a broad idea of where do you see robotic surgery in the future? Do you see it really being used only in specific cases for difficult surgeries or these types of surgeries, or is it really going to be used in a lot of different surgeries?
Okay, well, me personally, I see it more for difficult surgeries than for this automatization aspect. So I don't think we will use robots in hospitals to make automatic operations, but I think we will use them to create new operations that would not be possible if we didn't have a robot. And I think this will start in all different disciplines of surgery. So I'm very optimistic that in the future we will have many different devices that will be used in the hospitals, and we will also have in the staff of the hospital people that are also trained to do the maintenance of the robots and at the same time understand what is the medical background. And I think this way the robots will really be part of the clinical workflow in the future.
Thank you, Rainer, very much for being with us.
Okay.
Dr. Wong Yun Chung is part of a team of surgeons at Yonsei University College of Medicine in Seoul, Korea, that made the news this month for successfully treating hundreds of patients with thyroid cancer using the Da Vinci robot. The Da Vinci robot from Intuitive Surgical is composed of arms that can perform precise and minimally invasive surgery. It is teleoperated by a surgeon through a console with 3D vision. He'll be giving us a surgeon's point of view on what are the advantages, disadvantages, and challenges in using such robots, and what technologies, such as those developed by Professor Konichke, could bring to the budding field of robot-assisted surgery.
Hi, Chung. Welcome to Robots. Can you present yourself to our listeners?
Yeah, sure. I'm Chung, and the consultant of Yonsei University, Seoul, Korea. Since October 2007, I have applied the Da Vinci robotic surgical system to my own endoscope thyroidectomy technique, and currently manage surgically over 800 patients with thyroid cancer.
How do you use the Da Vinci robot to treat thyroid cancer?
Yeah, actually, my technique is reported in the Journal of the American College of Surgeons in 2009 in detail. If I briefly speak, I make a 5 to 6 centimeter skin incision in the region side axilla and another 0.8 centimeter sized skin incision on anterior chest. And then I make a working space from axilla to the side of the gland, keep the working space by my own retractor system during operative procedure. So 4 robotic arms of Da Vinci system can be indwelled through the axilla incision wound. At the surgeon's console, I carefully control the robotic system and to perform the safe and precise thyroid surgery. Actually, the thyroidectomy procedure can be performed by the nearly same manner as in open surgery.
And how is using this robot different than what you used to do before?
The robotic arm and the robotic instrument role is very same with the surgeon's hand, but the difference is the robotic arm and the instrument can be performed more precise and more precise and more safe procedure than open surgery or other endoscope surgery.
And is this robot difficult to use?
Yeah, currently not difficult for me to, but in my beginning period, it took time to adapt myself to robotological system. So I think the training and the education program is definitely necessary for the beginner to start this new surgical technique. However, many surgeons suggest that time requirements for overcoming learning curve might be relatively shorter in robotic surgery than open or true endoscope surgery, because the robotic surgical system provides surgeons with a technologically advanced vision and hand skill.
Generally, what are the advantages and disadvantages of using a surgery robot?
Yeah, first, there are some frequently described these advantages. The expensive price of a surgical robot and high cost per operation, a difficulty in training system for surgeon, and the technical low tactile sensation like that. And some excellent advantages like that cosmetic superiority, a surgeon's comfortability, and more precise and safe surgical procedure with the help of the magnified three-dimensional view, internal articulated endoscope list, trauma filtering effect provided by the surgical robot system. So I can expect in the near future almost all type of endoscope surgery will be performed with the assistance of a robotic system.
Our previous guest is making a surgery robot that can help the doctor feel what's happening in the patient by using a force sensors or basically tactile sensors. Do you think this could be helpful?
That's the limitation of the robotic system. There is no tactile sensation. So it is for the beginning, it is handling the robotic system without any injury to the human tissue. But with the experience and with the training, it can be overcome, I think.
Do you think it would be useful, though?
Yeah, sure.
And can you imagine other improvements to make to these robots?
Yeah, sure. So there will be more and more advances in robotic system. And finally, I think in the near future, in the some types of the surgery, automation will be possible, I think. So currently, I heard that some advanced robotic system, it means the one-foot robotic surgical system. Definitely can be reduced the invasiveness of a surgical procedure, I think.
Thanks, Chung, for being here with us on Robots.
Thank you.
And that wraps up today's episode of Robots. As always, you can take a look at our website for more information on our guests at robotspodcast.com. And don't forget to stop by the forum for discussion on today's show and all hot topics in robotics.
Thanks for listening. Hope to see you in 2 weeks.
Operate with Robots, the podcast for news and views on robotics.